At this point, we are considering objections to the idea that baptism is for the remission of sins and is also necessary for salvation. In our last study, we examined the salvation of the thief on the cross, noting that he was saved before the command to be baptized into Christ's death was given. And he was saved before the new covenant became of force, which makes his example of salvation irrelevant to the issue of our discussion, the issue of baptism. Another objection is one that concerns Cornelius and his household, which can be summarized like this. The Spirit came upon Cornelius and his household before they were baptized. The Spirit falling upon them was evidence that they were saved. Therefore, they were saved before baptism, making it non-essential to salvation. But let me ask you, is this a proper conclusion to reach? Does the evidence in Acts support such a conclusion? Did Peter and the others conclude that the Spirit falling upon the Gentiles was for the purpose of saving them? And henceforth, they were saved before baptism. There are some important questions that have to be answered as we consider the events of this conversion. Exactly when did the Spirit fall on Cornelius and his household, and what was the purpose of the Spirit falling upon them? So let's consider the objection as we look at Cornelius and his household. First, the actual sequence of events in this conversion. You remember from Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, that Cornelius was a religious man, a very religious man. And the angel appears to him in chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, with an announcement that his prayers and alms have been noticed by God, with instructions for him to send for a man named Peter. Now notice, the angel tells him in verse 6, he will tell you what you must do. As Peter later recounted in chapter 11 and verse 14, that he says, the angel who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. So here's an important note. Cornelius would not be saved until he heard the words telling him what to do. And a third point here is that Cornelius then sends two servants to a devout soldier and a devout soldier to Peter, who is on the rooftop in Joppa, chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. And in the process here, Peter has a vision. While these three men are traveling toward Peter, he has a vision on this rooftop, chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. And then he retells this in chapter 11, verses 4 through 10. And it involves a sheet descending from heaven containing all sorts of creatures. A voice tells him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter objects. He says, because I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice tells him, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And three times this vision is repeated. And the Spirit then tells Peter to go with the messengers. The men from Cornelius arrive as Peter thinks about this vision. Chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, and again, chapter 11 and verse 11, as Peter recounts this story. The Spirit tells Peter to go, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Verses 19 and 20. So Peter receives the men and takes six men with him as they go to Cornelius and his household. Chapter 10, verses 21 through 23. So Peter arrives at Cornelius' house. Cornelius has gathered his family and his close friends, according to verse 24. And Peter deflects any attempt by Cornelius to worship him, verses 25 and 26. He explains his presence is a violation of Jewish custom, but now understands, according to verses 27 and 28, I shall not call any man common or unclean. He's asked by Peter to explain why he was called. Cornelius recounts the appearance and instructions of the angel, verses 29 through 32. Cornelius then and his household were ready to hear all things commanded you by God, according to chapter 10 and verse 33. Now, as Peter begins to speak, the Spirit falls upon all those who are listening. At this point, it's careful to note the actual sequence of events. Luke records, his record gives us attention to the sermon first, and then the Spirit coming upon the Gentiles, verses 33 through 44. But Luke also says that while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell. From this, we don't know exactly when the Spirit fell. It could have been at the beginning, in the middle, toward the end, or after the sermon completely. Peter, however, explained what happened in the order from the beginning, according to chapter 11 and verse 4. He describes the events as they happened. He says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them," according to chapter 11 and verse 15. So here's an important note. We learn from Peter that the Spirit actually came upon the Gentiles at the beginning of his sermon. With the Spirit falling upon the Gentiles, they began to speak with tongues, which amazed Peter and his Jewish companions that had traveled with him. We see that in verses 45 and 46 of chapter 10. So here, Peter's sermon to the household of Cornelius begins with a full perception that God shows no partiality. We see that being stated in verses 34 and 35 of chapter 10. A perception started with the vision of the sheet of unclean beasts. A perception continued with the Spirit's instructions to go with the messengers, and the perception made clear to Peter with the Spirit falling upon the Gentiles. And that's what Peter states for us in chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. Peter then proceeds to proclaim Jesus Christ according to chapter 10, verses 36 through 43. Now, as the Lord who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, chapter 10, verses 36 through 38, who was killed but then raised from the dead and seen by eyewitnesses who knew him well, chapter 10, verses 39 through 41, who has commanded the apostles to proclaim him as ordained by God to the judge, to be the judge of the living and the dead, chapter 10 and verse 42, through whom remission of sins is offered to those who believe, verse 43. Now that's Peter's sermon from chapter 10 to the household of Cornelius. Now notice, Peter then commands them to be baptized. He states in verse 47, "How could anyone forbid water to those who have received the Spirit just as the apostles did?" And he recounts the same thing in chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. So then Cornelius and his household were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord, chapter 10 and verse 48. Now, the events surrounding this conversion are certainly remarkable. They evidently were intended to convey some important truths. But our purpose in this study is to answer these questions. At what point were Cornelius and his household saved? If not to save them, what was the purpose of the Spirit falling upon Cornelius and his household? So now let's answer this first question. At what point was Cornelius saved? Remember what Cornelius was told in verse 6 of chapter 10? Peter would tell him what you must do. And Peter would tell him, according to verse 11 and verse 4, chapter 11 and verse 14, as he recounted, "Words by you which shall be saved." And yet the Spirit fell upon them before he heard. Now, as Peter said, the Spirit fell upon them as I began to speak. And it wasn't until the end of his sermon and afterward that Peter told them the words by which you shall be saved. So Cornelius was saved after he heard. Heard what? The words by which he would be saved. In other words, the sermon that Peter preached. So what was he told to do? Such as to believe, Acts 10 and verse 43. Such as to be baptized, as commanded in Acts 10 and verse 48. You see, until he heard the words and obeyed what he was told, he was not saved. Now, since Cornelius and his family were not saved until they heard the words by which they would be saved and told what they must do, the Spirit falling upon them did not save them, because it came before they heard the words and were told what to do. But why the Spirit came upon them, if not to save them? So let's consider what actually was the purpose of the Spirit falling upon Cornelius and his household. I think the purpose can be gleaned or learned from the following. The effect it had on the Jewish brethren who were present with Peter and Peter's response himself in verses 45 through 47. The reaction of the Jewish brethren in Jerusalem when Peter told them what had happened, chapter 11 and verses 17 and 18, as he recounts in his own words what happened. And then Peter's explanation at the council held later in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. The purpose of the Holy Spirit was to show the Jewish brethren that God was no respecter of persons. That's what Peter clearly stated in chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. The purpose also was that God was willing to grant these men, these Gentiles, if you will, the opportunity to repent and have life, eternal life, Acts 11 and verse 18. And that the Gentiles could be saved in the same way as the Jews, that is, by faith, repentance, and baptism. We see that talked about in Acts 15, verses 9 and 11. And that's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38. And that's what he told the household of Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 48. Which faith comes through hearing the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Now, while miraculous events surrounded the conversion of Cornelius and his family, their salvation was no different from what we see in other cases of conversion. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were taught to believe and be baptized. So they were saved in the same manner as all those who previously heard, according to Mark 16, 15 and 16. The purpose of the Spirit falling on them was not to show one could be saved without baptism, but to show that Gentiles were no longer considered common or unclean. Remember Peter's vision? And they could be granted the same opportunities to hear the gospel and be saved by it. So someone might ask, when the Spirit came upon Balaam to prophesy concerning Israel in the book of Numbers, did it save him? When the Spirit came upon Saul to prophesy in 1 Samuel 19, did it save him? When Caiaphas prophesied in John 11, was he saved? The purpose of the Spirit coming upon a person can vary. And one should not assume that one filled with the Spirit at any given time is thereby being saved by the Spirit. You see, those of us not descended from Israel can rejoice in what God revealed with the conversion of Cornelius, as properly concluded by the Jewish brethren in Jerusalem in Acts 11 and verse 16. God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life. And as Peter notes in Acts 15 verses 9 through 11, that they were saved in the same manner as all others, having their hearts purified through faith when they heard and obeyed the word of God. Now, have you been baptized? Have you been saved by hearing the word of God? Or do you feel like you've been saved because of some miraculous event with the Holy Spirit? Or have you been saved and then baptized at a later date? You see, all of these that we're talking about here are not according to scriptures. If you'd like to discuss this lesson or any other lesson with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go to the church's website, churchateastside.com, and listen to this lesson again or listen to past lessons. You can also find the times of our services if you would be inclined to visit with us. You can find other information there. There's reading material there. Our weekly bulletin is published there. And if you'd like to talk with me, again, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. I want to thank you for being with me today, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday.